Hey folks, my name is Jason Spies and I travel across these great states talking to small business owners, CEOs, policymakers, musicians, and mentors about making money, giving back, and balancing life. I find out how they prioritize professional and personal time while still making money. Yes indeed, our guests are real heavyweights in understanding business and life. So get ready to relax, learn a little bit, and get a cup of coffee ready because my name is Jason Spies and this is Coffee and Capitalism Radio.
Sitting on a million, sitting on it every day. Can't make no money giving your stuff away. Why don't you do now? Like the millionaires do. Put your stuff on the market. You can make a million too.
Welcome to Coffee and Capitalism Radio, heard in the Crude Life Media Network. My name is Jason Spies, and I'm your host today. Thank you, folks, for pulling up a stool and joining the conversation. Coffee and Capitalism brings you exclusive interviews and distinct content from leaders who drive our economy, from CEOs to small business owners to mentors. Coffee and Capitalism is a leader in innovation, ideas, and inspiration. Coffee and Capitalism is about making money and giving back, learning the fine art of balancing work and family life, all while prioritizing your time. If you have a student loan, if you have a car payment, if you have a home mortgage, you have a small business called life. And Coffee and Capitalism is here to help you try to navigate through it a little easier. All right. Thank you, folks, for joining us here today. My name is Jason Spies, and on today's episode, we talk with Kayla Sprayberry with Hub Funding Solutions about how to help out small startup businesses. And then we talk with Jasper Wade with Tools R Us. He has an excellent way to where he is utilizing social media to help with his disability in order to get some sales. And then we go down to Texas and talk with David Spence with the University of Austin, Texas. He does not believe that this big oil boom is as big as they should make it out to be. In fact, he issues a couple warnings, so you might want to listen to that a little bit later on in the program. David Spence with the University of Austin, Texas. And then our multimedia kitchenpreneur Otis, he sits down and interviews Jack Stark, the president of Continental Resources. All that plus much more on today's episode of Coffee and Capitalism Radio. My name is Jason Spies, and this is Coffee and Capitalism Radio, heard on the Crude Life Media Network. Over the past few months, I've told you about how unbelievable Hatch Coaching is. Well, don't just take my word for it. Listen to what Greg Tavine of Emerging Prairies has to say about Hatch Coaching.
I got to watch him give a talk at TEDx Brookings, and I saw him come into his own where he shared uncomfortable things from his past in a way that created a teaching environment. And Eric's somebody that could easily lead with all he's accomplished, and it's a long list.
To find out more information about Hatch Coaching or to have Eric Hatch come to your company or event, visit coachingwithhatch.com. That's coachingwithhatch.com. Welcome back to Coffee and Capitalism Radio, heard in the Crude Life Media Network. My name is Jason Spies, and I'm your host today. Up next, Kayla Sprayberry with Hub Funding Solutions.
Kayla Sprayberry, Hub Funding Solutions.
Thank you for joining us here today on the Crude Life and its different properties that it has. But let's talk about Hub Financing, what it is you guys do quickly.
Yeah, what we do is we're an operational consulting firm, and we also help clients provide them with customized financing solutions. So alternative funding is our game.
That's kind of making a comeback, isn't it, some of this alternative funding? I'm hearing a little bit more and more about that as a, what's the word I'm looking for? It's almost a, not relevant, that's because that is true, but it's just appetizing. It's just becoming more appetizing to people after the long, call it the banking scandals of the past decade and a half. Is that kind of, am I reading the tea leaves right on that, or is this always been as strong as ever?
Well, it's always been strong. I think it's just getting more well-known, especially in the oil and gas sector. Most of the time it had been either the banks or private equity, and now a lot more of the alternative financing companies have seen that oil and gas is worth investing in. And yes, there is, you know, people are gun shy with banks with the scandal, and they're looking for alternatives. And let's be honest, a lot of people Had some credit issues that came up from the last boom and bust, and that's another reason. While it does cover everywhere from, you know, high A credits, there are things that can even cover, you know, C and D credits sometimes. So it's just giving people options, and now there's more information. People know more, so people are less gun shy about really looking into the positive aspects of alternative financing.
So let's talk a little bit about some of the financing that goes into the oil and gas business. You and I were talking about this a little bit before we got on the interview about trying to control your growth and maintain and expenses and that sort of thing. Talk to me a little bit about controlling the small business overhead and how you guys play a role in that.
Oh, yeah, absolutely. Your overhead can make or break you. Everybody talks about revenue, but people are not really looking at how their overhead costs really affect their bottom line, especially when it comes to their assets. One of the big alternative funding methods that people use are leases, leases on equipment and leases on vehicles. And it can make a big difference on not just the cash flow throughout the year. You know, instead of spending a big chunk on, let's say, a backhoe or a loader, they're actually able to pay that out on a monthly basis and write 100% of it off instead of paying cash out of their pocket and then only being able to write off part of that 1 year and part of that the next. Or financing it traditionally and only being able to write off a small percentage of interest. So leasing really provides a good foothold in that. And with the tax changes that have come up for this past year, it's especially important for small businesses, LLCs, S-Corps, you know, anybody who is a sole proprietor, because that's all flow through. And we've lost so much in what we're able to take off personally that those business expenses that flow through really help us be able to maintain a small business.
You mentioned oil and gas is becoming a little bit more open to the ideas of some non-traditional financing. What are some of those, I guess, just an overview of the basics when it comes to raising capital and trying to get financing?
In oil and gas, there are several things that I see that really make a big difference in making or breaking, getting a deal through for financing. And it really comes down to three main things. You've got your books, your P&L and balance sheet, bank accounts, finances as a whole, and then transparency. I mean, it's what really comes up to really create that that security in being able to get that financing that you want.
How to listen to the full-length interview with Kayla Sprayberry with Hub Funding Solutions or to listen to other Coffee and Capitalism features, visit thecrudelife.com. That's thecrudelife.com. Coffee and Capitalism Radio is heard on the Crude Life Media Network. Check us out on Facebook and Twitter. All of those social media links are available at thecrudelife.com. That's thecrudelife.com. My name is Jason Spies, and this is Coffee and Capitalism Radio, heard on the Crude Life Media Network. Hey folks, I want to take a quick second to tell you, just in time for summer, the Crude Life t-shirts are now on sale. Three different designs available. Show your support for the industry and become an energy enthusiast by living the Crude Life. Visit thecrudelife.com and click on the t-shirts now on sale. That's the Crude Life t-shirts now on sale.
Jason Spies, the most trusted voice in the Bakken.
Let's bring in Jason Spies, who is a multimedia journalist in North Dakota. Jason, what's your thought on this?
My dad always listens to Jason Spies.
No one does an interview like Jason Spies.
Jason Spies is the most trusted voice in the Bakken.
Love listening to Jason Spies on the radio, and if I miss him there, I catch him online.
You know, I don't know what justifies being placed in history books, Jason, but in my book, it's in there. This is a good thing.
Is your boss watching this?
Nothing.
You need a raise.
Welcome back to Coffee and Capitalism Radio, heard on the Crude Life Media Network. My name is Jason Spies, and I'm your host today. Up next, Jasper Wade with Tools R Us.
Jasper Wade, Tools R Us.
Tools R Us. Well, my guess is you're selling some tools, so let's talk about what the company does for a second.
Well, a bunch of us, you know, got together and know that there's a lot of new technologies that come out to the oil field, and we developed this company, myself and a few friends of mine, so that we could bring new technologies to the oil field that offer the safety, efficiency, and optimization. So we offer multiple tools and different software packages. We have one software package that is probably the ultimate rod simulator for horizontal and deviated wells. And it's taken a while for them to market it. Our best tool we like is our Hydrolift, you know, but they're all tools that, you know, they really have very little competition in the market because they're just new to be able to provide a safer, more efficient atmosphere and culture for the companies using them.
You know,
so we always are looking for stuff.
You mentioned safety, and I wrote that down, so I'm going to get back to that in just a second, because obviously safety is a very big part of the oil field, but not only is it a big part, but there's a big push, like, nationally from a lot of different angles. So I know people are going to want to listen to that, but you also talked about software as a tool. I think a lot of people forget that because the oil and gas industry is such a tangible industry where you can actually see the big rigs and the hydraulic lifts and everything. A lot of people forget that the software is such a vital part and such a vital tool to the whole industry. So you guys do sell both the actual tangible, I can see the big, you know, hydraulic lift, but the other side is you guys do have software too?
Yeah, you know, and in artificial lift, you know, for rod pumped wells, you know, having a good software that can help you predict how your rods are going to work in the hole in different conditions is important. There are a couple different companies that sell and lease some stuff, but they're extremely expensive. And many companies just can't afford to keep a lot of licenses. So they might get one or two licenses for 100 engineers, say, and then everybody shares that one license, you know. And, you know, with this software, it's economical enough where that everybody could have their own license. They could all work at their own, you know, become more efficient with it. But then they are able to manipulate information in the well so they can see when things change, you know, or before they put in a strain, you know. And so that's where this software came up. And then we even have a new one for just drilling wells. But all of them are just, you know, I've been 3 or 4 years in design, and a new beta test, a new set of the rod string will be offered on LinkedIn, you know, the first of next week, 4th of July.
Well, let's talk a little bit about safety. I want to talk about some of the, you know, the broad brushes in just a moment. But, you know, you mentioned like the hydraulic product earlier. Talk to me about how that product is making, say, things safer out there. So we'll combine those two together. And with your experience, talk to me how it's making it safer.
Well, you know, the Hydrolift, in rod pumped wells, the key point is what is your spacing of your plunger and your pump. And no matter what your software or what people in the field might say, you know, it may always be, you know, 5 or 6 inches off one way or the other, or as the fluid makeup of the fluid changes, the buoyancy of your rods change, and it causes your rods now to tag the well, tag the pump, which often is a bad thing because it can cause damage to the pump, et cetera. You know, and many companies will, you know, shut a well down, and then they have to go and bring a rig back out on the site to order to respace the pump, which is expensive. Or they can have a crew go out and manhandle the rod string and physically move it and turn the pumping unit off, use the pumping unit as a means to pull it up instead of the rig, and that's not necessarily a safe way to do it. It's not using the rig, the pumping unit for the right reason. You know, the hydrolift is a very simple one-man operation that he can set the hydrolift on a stuffing box and actually pick up 40,000 pounds. He can pick up the rod string and then have it actually placed exactly where it's needed. So you get the optimization and efficiency, you know, with a certified tool. And from a safety standpoint, you know, people look at their safety cultures all the time, and how you respace a rod string is normally something that, you know, most safety people go right over because there's just not a safe way to do it. And the hydrolift provides that safe way to do it. It keeps people out of harm's way, which I think is very important. It keeps them from having to touch electrical panels a lot of times in order to do the same function. So whenever there's a new safe tool, it's important for companies to know that it's out there, simply because it needs to be an alternative. You know, most of the larger companies are buying, or starting to buy the tool simply because they know that this allows them to optimize their wells more efficiently and quicker, as well as safer than the way they've done it before. I know one company that would, you know, they would turn a well off if it was tagging, and might wait, you know, 12 to 20 hours or 2 days before they can get a rig or a crew out to fix it. That could cost them $20,000 or $30,000 in revenue with that well being down if it was making, you know, 50, 100, 200 barrels of fluid.
Jasper Wade, Tools Are Us on the line with us. The Hydrolift, you mentioned that product, the one we were just talking about, but you mentioned you got together with a group of guys and kind of focused on an idea behind innovative and safe products. Are there any other innovative products that you might want to mention?
Now, we also have a liner hanger, which allows you to be able to change over from one side of the casing to another, which is, that's a pretty cool tool. We also have been promoting a horizontal lift system for gas lift. You know, and gas lift is all the rage nowadays. But unfortunately, there are some drawbacks on gas lift, as it has difficulties in slugging with surface equipment, and it can often not get you the drawdown or all the fluid that you want. This dual lift system allows you to be able to lift the gas from the lateral string into the horizontal, into the vertical string, which is pretty significant. It's been patented back in July of 2010, so it's just something I think is time has come, because, you know, a lot of people will put gas lift into a well for the first few 8 months to a year of the life of the well, and as the initial production goes down, then they'll go and switch out. Well, with this device, they can actually stay in the well for years before they have to do anything different. And then it offers a simple transition to rod pump. You know, and so that's another thing that we do. We're also, you know, looking at bringing on a new PCP pump, which should be available probably in the second quarter, or the third quarter of this year. Well, just that safety is important, you know, and new technologies are coming out here all the time that offer you ways to be safer. And I think the key is always, you know, safer and optimization. You know, if you can get those two words in the same sentence, then the product's probably pretty good. And that's what we offer with things like the Hydrolift. You know, it gives your company a safer way to do a method people have been doing for decades.
To listen to the full-length interview with Jasper Wade from Tools R Us, or to listen to other Coffee and Capitalism features, visit thecrudelife.com. That's thecrudelife.com. Coffee and Capitalism Radio is part of the Crude Life Media Network. Check us out on Facebook and Twitter. All of those social media links are available at thecrudelife.com. That's thecrudelife.com. My name is Jason Spies, and this is Coffee and Capitalism Radio, heard in the Crude Life Media Network.
I'm thinking I'm drinking, I'm spinning, I'm grinning. Oh, my car stops when I go.
The music on today's program is written and performed by the Moody River Band. For more information on the Moody River Band, their links, and their music, visit thecrudelife.com. That's thecrudelife.com, and click on the Musicians tab. This is the Moody River Band.
I'm walking, I'm talking, I'm smoking, I'm joking.
Over the past few months, I've told you about how unbelievable Hatch coaching is. Don't just take my word for it. Listen to what Christy Huber, president of the United Way of Cass Clay, says about Hatch coaching.
I think it's a really exciting time for our young leaders today because leaders like Eric Hatch are changing the face of what it means to lead an organization or what it means to lead a brand. He's changing that. For many years, I think that the gold standard of leadership has been somebody who is very polished and has it all together or seemingly has it all together. And throughout the years, I think that we've now, especially with technology and social media, we are drawn to what's real.
To find out more about Hatch Coaching or to have Eric Hatch speak at your event or company, visit hatchcoaching.com. That's hatchcoaching.com. Or call 701-212-1572. That's 701-212-1572.
Meridian Energy Group of Belfield, North Dakota is building the most technologically advanced oil refinery on the planet, the Davis Refinery. A project designed to achieve emission control levels the industry has never seen before. The Davis Refinery, working for North Dakota. MeridianEnergyGroupInc.com.
Welcome back to Coffee and Capitalism Radio, heard in the Crude Life Media Network. My name is Jason Spies, and I'm your host today. Up next, David Spence with the University of Austin, Texas.
David Spence, professor of energy regulation at the University of Texas.
Outstanding. Thank you for joining us today. Talking to Mr. Spence about an article that he wrote yesterday or a few days ago or maybe last week, but I read it yesterday, and it had to do with the Texas oil boom, and specifically he was mentioning more of West Texas. So I wanted to talk a little bit about that. I found it a very interesting article. How are you doing today, by the way?
I'm doing fine. And you?
Oh, I'm doing okay. I got some road construction going on right in front of my house. So if there's any booming in the background, that means it's a heck of a boom. But my studio has been shaking a little bit this morning. So it's like being next to, I guess, big projects. But good news, infrastructure is being built. So talk to me a little bit about the thesis of that article that you had written.
Well, it's really about the predictions that are really all over the board about how long the latest fracking boom might last. As you probably know, the history of this industry is one of booms and busts. And because the resource is so big out there in West Texas, there are a lot of people who are making predictions that this boom might last longer than other booms. And, you know, the thesis of this article is that really it's impossible to predict. So there's so many variables at work here that, you know, we really don't know how long it's going to last. It could last a long time. It might not. There's just too many variables at work. And, if any of us knew how long these booms would last, we'd be very, very wealthy.
Well, and there's so many different factors that, you know, come into play, whether it's water or price of oil or price of steel, jobs, different things. I mean, it's very difficult. One of the things that came out of the Bakken conference, the Williston Basin Petroleum Conference, I was up there 2 weeks ago. A lot of the leaders there, they're trying to streamline the industry in terms of turning it more into less of a boom bust and more of a
regular industry. Now, I don't know, I guess, what that looks like at the end of the day, but I understand the logic. You know, we know the oil is there, the science is there, technology is getting greater, the jobs seem to be becoming a little bit more white collar and automated than the old days. So finding, you know, the old workforce has changed. I get where the logic comes from, that so many aspects of the industry's changed, but there's still the oil prices and so much unpredictability there. Are you following me at all to where I guess I can see where they're coming from to make it more of an industry, but there's still that just inherent unpredictability of the nature.
Right, and all the factors you listed are really sort of production side factors, and it's absolutely true that the industry has gotten more efficient, leaner, which is going to enable people to take advantage of more of the opportunities presented by changes in price. But the demand side or the consumption side of a ledger is, you know, beyond their control. And so as world oil prices move, you know, they're going to essentially take certain plays, you know, out of the market, or add them into the market, depending upon, you know, the world price for crude. And so, you know, that's just something we can't control here in Texas. And so, you know, that's what I meant when I said it's difficult to predict. But you're absolutely right. I think the stuff that we can't control, we've gotten a lot better at.
Do you see them trying to go more towards the, you know, the call it the 9-to-5 work week as opposed to, you know, the 2-week hitch, 2-week off type of a thing? Obviously, they're not going to try to, you know, correct all of them, but I do hear the conversations of them trying to be a more normal work environment. Are you seeing that at all from your side?
Yeah, I can't speak to that, you know, as a matter of sort of reporting. I can't really speak to that. You probably have a better sense than I do. What I will say is that, you know, when a place like, you know, the major formations in West Texas, when, you know, which are relatively cheap to produce from compared to a lot of other shale formations in the country, when the price goes up, there's going to be a rush to develop resources, and that's why we're seeing in places like Midland, you know, tremendous labor shortages, just like we've seen in booms in the past. There's a bit of a sort of common aspect to this that's always been part of the game, and it's probably always going to be part of the game. We'd like to rationalize it and make it a little bit more like, you know, like other industries, but the fact is it's a competitive industry, and the good times can go away pretty quickly, and so when the good times are here, there's going to be a rush to produce.
And that rush to produce a lot of times produces a herd mentality, and with your background in policy and that sort of thing, I would imagine between energy and policy, there's quite a bit of herd mentality that appears in both of those. Are you seeing that happening right now, kind of a herd mentality? And, well, probably down in the Permian, for sure you are.
Yeah, absolutely. I mean, there's you never know when you're getting sort of honest information and when people are, you know, trying to influence public opinion. But generally, there has been sort of a rush in one direction, and, you know, optimism tends to beget more optimism. Pessimism begets more pessimism. So that's always been the case. I don't think that's terribly new. It's always been sort of a feature of the oil and gas industry.
Yeah, I agree with that. We're just kind of wrapping up a little bit. What's, from your perspective and what you do at the University of Austin down there, University of Texas Austin, what are you seeing over the next 12 months in the energy industry? I mean, there's a lot of talk about hiring, and there's a lot of great oil prices, but there's also bottlenecks and everything else going on. From your day-to-day and your perspective, what are you seeing the energy industry is going to do?
Well, there are a couple of other issues that were raised in the piece that I wrote for The Hill that, you know, I think are interesting from my point of view. One has to do with what the kinds of impacts that come with a boom like this. One thing I will say is I think we're getting better. I think towns are getting better and companies are getting better at working with one another to try and address the sort of boom and bust impacts that come along with this industry. There's a lot of corporate social responsibility kinds of activities going on out in the shale patch that I think are the product of that back and forth between the towns and the companies. And I think that's an interesting aspect of this. The other aspect, of course, that's been widely reported is the bottleneck of transportation infrastructure to get product out of West Texas into the market. That's going to, you know, impinge upon the ability of producers to capitalize on high oil prices coming out of West Texas. And so how fast that bottleneck can be remedied will be an interesting aspect of this.
How often do you write these pieces, and how can people, I guess, follow your work or your voice, that sort of thing? I appreciate you coming on the program today to talk a little bit about that. Is there anything else that we needed to talk about? Anything you wanted to reiterate? Anything we left out, I guess?
No, you asked how people could follow me. I have a Twitter account that's focused on energy, at Spence Energy UT. I do periodically write these opinion pieces, but they appear in different places at different times. So typically I'll tweet them on my Twitter account if people want to read about that.
To listen to the full-length interview with David Spence with the University of Texas Austin, or to listen to other Coffee and Capitalism features, visit thecrudelife.com. That's thecrudelife.com. Coffee and Capitalism Radio is part of the Crude Life Media Network. Check us out on Facebook and Twitter. All of those social media links are available at thecrudelife.com. That's thecrudelife.com. My name is Jason Spies, and this is Coffee and Capitalism Radio, heard on the Crude Life Media Network. Music on today's program is written and performed by the Moody River Band. For more information on the Moody River Band, their links, and their music, visit thecrudelife.com. That's thecrudelife.com, and click on the Musicians tab. This is the Moody River Band.
You feel a little dizzy. You're talking kind of silly, like you have plans to save the world. Your task will only last if you don't take off your mask. When the outside's chilly, the inside is warm. You've been wishing you'd never been born. All I can say is that you try to behave and try not to get your mind blown.
Over the past few months, I've told you about how unbelievable Hatch coaching is. Well, don't just take my word for it. Listen to what Greg Tavine of Emerging Prairies has to say about Hatch coaching.
Yeah, I mean, this guy gets people laughing. He gets people thinking. He's somebody that challenges and inspires. And what I think is so beautiful about Eric is he's real. I think the number one thing that I look for in speakers when we bring them into our platforms is that they're that person 365 days a year. Eric is not just a speaker on a stage. That's who he is at the grocery store. That's who he is when he's at the mall. But Eric is somebody that lives his values each and every day. And I think we can all respect that.
To find out more about Hatch Coaching or to have Eric Hatch speak at your event or company, visit hatchcoaching.com. That's hatchcoaching.com. Or call 701-212-1572. That's 701-212-1572.
Meridian Energy Group of Belfield, North Dakota is building the most technologically advanced oil refinery on the planet, the Davis Refinery. A project designed to achieve emission control levels the industry has never seen before. The Davis Refinery, working for North Dakota. MeridianEnergyGroupInc.com.
Hey folks, I want to take a quick second to tell you, just in time for summer, the Crude Life t-shirts are now on sale. Three different designs available. Show your support for the industry and become an energy enthusiast by living the Crude Life. Visit thecrudelife.com and click on the t-shirts now on sale. That's the Crude Life t-shirts now on sale. Welcome back to Coffee and Capitalism Radio, heard on the Crude Life Media Network. My name is Jason Spies, and I'm your host today. Up next, our multimedia kidjapreneur Otis, as he talks with Jack Stark, the president of Continental Resources. This is Otis with the Kids in Capitalism KidCast.
Hello, my name is Otis with the Kids of Capitalism KidCast, and we're here today with Jack Stark, president of Continental Resources, and we're going to ask you a couple questions. Is that okay?
You can.
All right. What was your first job, Mr. Stark?
Oh, my first job. It was actually mowing yards.
Mowing yards?
Yeah, I started out, I was 9 years old when I think back, and I started out with just a couple. I ended up getting it to where I had all I could handle in a week, and just myself personally. And so I think I got up to like 15. And,
wow, that's
and
a lot of
it was, well, it was a lot of knocking on doors and a lot of hard work as well. But it really taught me a lot because it taught me how to step out. I mean, be an entrepreneur, step out, and you know, if you want business, you got to go find it.
Mm-hmm.
And then you got to deliver, and you got to deliver a product.
Yep.
And it's got to be good. And I remember having this one elderly lady who was very, very specific on how things needed to be done. So she taught me all about quality.
All right. Why is the energy industry a good place for young entrepreneurs?
Young entrepreneurs? Oh, gosh. You know, the thing I love about the energy business is that it's always changing and growing. What I've loved through the years, and I think would be great for anybody looking to get into this business, is that it's not a stagnant business. Technology and the evolution of technology has allowed our business, the changes I've seen, I guess I'd say, in the last 10 years through technology are just phenomenal. And in fact, the whole energy renaissance that we've seen is a result of technology, allowing us to harvest rocks that were previously just considered to be source and seal, never reservoir. Now we're actually able to tap into those rocks and produce the hydrocarbons that are in those reservoirs through horizontal drilling and the fracture stimulation technology we use today. So that was stuff that was never on our radar. And I started out as a geologist when I was in college. I actually started out going into biology.
And
I don't know if you want to know all this. You want to cut
totally
me off?
Totally fine.
Okay. Well, I started out in biology because I loved oceanography, and I realized that that I was in Ohio and I was a long ways away from the ocean, and that probably wasn't the direction for me to go. So I always liked rocks and geology. I went into it, but I did not know where the career opportunities were with geology. So I just did it because it was my passion and what I loved. And so the doors that have opened as I got my degree and then moved into the energy business are way beyond any of my expectations. So I think the opportunity to grow personally and professionally are great.
All right. This is our last question. What advice do you have for young entrepreneurs?
Follow your passion.
Follow your passion.
I mean, that will drive you through low times and high times in your career and in your your life as a whole. I mean, if you're passionate about something, it isn't work, and it makes it much easier to deal with changes.
All right. Well, I think that concludes our interview with John Stark, president of Continental Resources.
Jack Stark.
Jack Stark, not John Stark. My bad.
That's good.
I'm president of Continental Resources.
All right.
Thank you for taking the time out of your day to do an interview.
You bet. Thank you.
Appreciate it very much, dude.
All right.
All right.
Yes.
Thanks for
being
on the show or whatever this is.
All right.
To listen to the full-length interview with multimedia kidpreneur Otis and Jack Stark, president of Continental Resources, or to check out other KidCasts or to check out other Kids and Capitalism KidCasts, visit kidsandcapitalism.com. That's kidsandcapitalism.com. My name is Jason Spies. This is Coffee and Capitalism Radio on the Crude Life Media Network, and we are proud sponsors and mentors of Kids and Capitalism.
Oh, yeah. I'll hammer on the harmony. After a hard week's work, we'll need a mighty fine melody. We will ready the rhyme and rhythm, chord each note and every measure. Together we will make a rich living, phrasing and composing.
Music on today's program is written and performed by the Moody River Band. For more information on the Moody River Band, their links, and their music, visit thecrudelife.com. That's thecrudelife.com, and click on the Musicians tab. This is the Moody River Band.
gas tank and a few miles left, where all the lonesome souls go. Who wrote their songs of living? And now it's our souls left for the giving.
Can't make no money giving your stuff away. Why don't you do now, like the millionaires do? Put your stuff on the market. You can make a million too. Minnie's a crooked woman, diamonds on every hand, tricking mother for you everywhere she lands. Why don't you do now, like the millionaires do? Put your stuff on the market. You can make a million too. Quick, Jack, who don't jump over the candlestick? Why don't you do now, like the millionaires do? Put your stuff on the market, you can make a million too.
And that concludes this week's episode of Coffee and Capitalism Radio, heard on the Crude Life Media Network. For a full list of today's guest and interview, visit our website, thecrudelife.com. That's thecrudelife.com. We'll be back next week on this radio station at this time. For a full list of our radio affiliates and other media partners, please visit our website, thecrudelife.com. That's thecrudelife.com. My name is Jason Spies, and from the staff here at Coffee and Capitalism Radio, we're asking you to be happy, make money, and give back. Thanks for joining us this week, folks.
Sign on our front porch saying, hot stuff for sale, why don't you do now, like the millionaires do? Put your stuff on the market, you can make a million too.
Meridian Energy Group of Belfield, North Dakota is building the most technologically advanced oil refinery on the planet. The Davis Refinery, a project designed to achieve emission control levels the industry has never seen before. The Davis Refinery, working for North Dakota. MeridianEnergyGroupInc.com.
Jason Spies, the most trusted voice in the Bakken.
Let's bring in Jason Spies, who is a multimedia journalist in North Dakota. Jason, what's your thought on this?
My dad always listens to Jason Spies.
No one does an interview like Jason Spies.
Jason Spies is the most trusted voice in the Bakken.
Love listening to Jason Spies on the radio, and if I miss him there, I catch him online.
You know, I don't know what justifies being placed in history books, Jason, but in my book, it's in there. This is a good thing.
Is your boss watching this? You need a raise.
Hey folks, I want to take a quick second to tell you, just in time for summer, the Crude Life t-shirts are now on sale. Three different designs available. Show your support for the industry and become an energy enthusiast by living the crude life. Visit thecrudelife.com and click on the t-shirts now on sale. That's the Crude Life t-shirts now on sale.